CliffCentral.com.
It's the weekend!
Baby! Baby!
It's the weekend, baby!
Yes, good morning, the last day of November.
Oh!
Very exciting. Hey. Yes. So what a day. We're all here. We're ready to kick some ass. Weekend ahead of us. Lots of people in South Africa busy with their year-end functions and getting drunk and having sex with people at the office that they'll regret in about 9 months when a bastard child is born.
Oh, 9 months. No. More like 9 minutes. It's like, oh no, happened again this year.
Have you seen Stephen and Denise?
Oh yeah,
they're round the back where the copy room is.
Well,
banging
each other. Stephen's definitely round the back.
Brains out. Have you been with Stephen? See, is that why you're saying that? All right. Good morning. Well, let's turn our attention immediately, because I know you can't wait to hear about this, to our celebrity this morning. Special celebrity guest for today. He, of course, is... Anyone want to guess? I gave you a clue. It's a him.
It's not one of us.
It is.
Oh.
Who do you think it is? It's Oprah Winfrey's son, Sia Sangweni. That's right. Did you meet your mother yesterday? Look at how excited he is. He's excited.
Okay.
Like Sia is excited like a pedophile on a school bus.
Let's do it. Let's deal with it.
How's
Let's
your mama?
Let's talk about
huh?
this. Oh.
What happened, Sia? Come on. Calm down to it.
Okay. We've had a great afternoon yesterday. Yeah, great afternoon.
Great afternoon. You sound like Alan Ford. All right, what happened?
Great afternoon. Great.
Just to set the tone, of course, Oprah is here for the Global Citizens Festival. She's one of the hosts at the concert on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
But before that, casually, because this happens all the time, Grash and Michelle called her and said, since you'll be in the country, you know, it is the anniversary of Madiba's death, and mm-hmm. I want to create an event to celebrate and honor that. And so they created yesterday Isithunzi Sabafazi, which translates
I bet Oprah can't pronounce.
Oh, she actually slipped in some Vedic in her speech as well.
Sweet Jesus, the woman is absolutely incredible. All right.
Yeah, she's flawless. Isithunzi Sabafazi, which means dignity of woman. So it was a panel of women engaging in topics around women in Africa, particularly yesterday. So it was Rudi Tlabi, who was moderating it. Oprah Winfrey was a keynote address speaker. There was Dr. Phumzile Mlambo-Ngcuka. There was mm-hmm. our former First Lady Grash Michelle and Grash Michelle's daughter, Jacina Michelle, who is now an activist in her own right. So this is all held at the University of Johannesburg. Yesterday, the Soweto campus, everyone was there. It was amazing, amazing, amazing. But Oprah giving the keynote address. So I arrived there steadily on time. It was very well organized.
Oh, you left here at 11.
What were you wearing?
I was just an all black jean and t-shirt vibe, that's it. And, you know, we went through security, we were all buzzed in, checked in, we got our accreditation, all perfect, we were told where to sit. But then we started thinking, okay, when would Oprah be arriving? We look at the clock because she was scheduled to speak at 2. And then we thought, maybe about like an hour before, that's when she will saunter in. And
this is Sia's stalker mode kicking in.
This is everything working out.
Poor Beyonce is taking out extra security for this very reason.
Beyonce landed yesterday at around 4 p.m. at Lanseria International Airport. Never mind, that's a different story.
Let's stick to Oprah for the moment, Sia.
So we went off to a side entrance which had an orange carpet. Orange is the color of the Nelson Mandela Foundation, who was also partnering up for this event. So we realized, okay, this is where she should be entering. And also there was a photo wall. So you put 1 + 1 = Oprah walking. And then a slew of cars start rolling up. Now... dying.
It's just you? Have the others not figured this out?
No, there's a whole crowd. Oh. There's a whole crowd of people at this point. And you know how raucous and loud South Africans are.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just all trying to push and shove. And that's happening.
Yes.
And the door opens in the first car. It was a Mercedes. And Mr. Sello Hatang walks out. And we know Sello Hatang is the head of the Nelson Mandela Foundation.
Sure.
So we're like, okay, Things are happening right about now. He takes out and that's it. And then out of the same car.
Just for anyone who's joined us, we are this is not a meltdown. This is actually someone who is trying to explain meeting their hero. So if you're wondering whether the story will end before 7:45 this morning,
we're
also hoping.
Yeah, I tell you what, Gore just tells shorter stories.
There are too many details in this.
Anyway, as you were.
Then Grosha Michelle hops out of the car as well, and her daughter Jacina. Then out of nowhere, like Bastana Kumalo walks out as well, and the actress Nomzamo Mbatha, we're like, okay, there's a lot of people now, but where's a maid of honor? And then the next car drives up to the carpet. And there she was.
Oprah, how far away from you, sir?
It was, you know, a red carpet away. But she then steps out in this tailored white ensemble. If you've ever seen an angel in person, that was it. She had her hair in these soft curls. So every step, they just flapped in the wind. And then, okay, side note. Deepak Chopra, of course, like the all wisdom guru, whatnot, always had this joke of he wished he had married Oprah so that Oprah would have been Oprah Chopra. And it's like one of his weird jokes.
I like that. That's funny as hell. Okay,
and then
good.
Based on how Zen Oprah is, very relaxed. She never, you know, gets all riled up or excited. Yes, we know the caricatures of her, but they say in person she's very zen. And I was speaking about how many people they were, because as soon as she started walking, everyone went silent. And I'm talking about even the photographers who were waiting for the money shots and they wanted Oprah to angle this way. Everyone went silent. Because that was when Grosha Michelle and Oprah were meeting for the first time. They hugged, they whispered into each other's ears, and I'm not even exaggerating, you could hear a pin drop. Hmm. We all just stood, Oprah walked close, she said, "Hello, everybody," and everyone, like a church choir, like, "Hello, Oprah."
Oh, God.
Good morning, Mrs. Oprah.
Good morning, Mrs. Oprah. Yeah. And then she just turned around, she waved at everyone, she posed for a few pictures, and she walked off. And I swear, for me, that was...
She didn't stop and say, my forlorn son.
I couldn't say anything, I couldn't do anything, and also at the same time, there was something about that moment where it's almost as if everyone just knew, like, don't ruin it, don't stuff it up, just embrace it, just respect her. She waved, she held Grosha Michelle's hand again, and then she walked off. I was like,
and you stayed for the speech.
Oh, the speech was insane.
And did you try to see her afterwards?
So I did as well.
Yeah,
but
of course.
Getting to the speech was, she was honoring Madiba with this, and it was Oprah through and through. She had a lot of Oprahisms. She retold the story of staying, how she got connected to South Africa. Yesterday, she was counting, was her 36th visit to the country.
Wow.
And it all started in 2002 when she was thinking about how else she could give back. And it was around Christmas time, and she thought about Madiba and how she wanted to repay him. And so she decided to come to the country and give South African kids presents for Christmas. Mm-hmm. And Madiba heard about this and said, you know what, since you'll be in the country and you're doing this for a couple of days, how about you spend some time in my house? Like, as in, you will sleep in my house, not in a hotel somewhere. It was crazy.
Maybe it was like
Oprah spent 10 days, 10 nights, and 29 meals. She joked and said if she ever wrote another book, she would call it 29 meals to speak about. The time when she would wake up and have breakfast at Madiba's feet and. But how in the course of those 10 days, she spoke about how she believed that education was the key to... you know, true liberation and equality and for poverty to get better in South Africa. And it was in one of those afternoons, I think they were having tea with Madiba, and Madiba goes, "Oh, so you believe in education?" And Oprah says, "Yes, and one day I think I want to open a school." And Madiba goes, "Great.
Do it. Tomorrow. Here's the land. Go."
Called Kada Asmal, who was our Minister of Education, and said, "Come over to the house right now. Oprah wants to build a school." And she said by the end of the day,
all of the plans were
in place for the school in true Madiba fashion. So that was 2002 and how the plans for the school were put in place. And how she spoke about her school now, the graduates. She has more than 100 girls in universities all around the world. Most recently this week, she has her first graduate who's a doctor and qualified. and spoke about Madiba in length, saying the likes of, you know, in true Oprah fashion, she goes, "And every time you cast a vote, you are keeping Madiba's spirit alive." Moving you away, Ben. And then she also says,
Ben is making hand gestures like he's hanging himself.
Oh, man. And she also said, "Madiba's spirit is so great that a 7x2 prison cell could not contain him." My accent is off, but you get the gist of it. Okay. And she had a great big hug with Grosha Michelle on stage. Like this. It was glorious. She also said, like, "Sunny Bonani, Africa."
Oh, so she pulled out, that was the vernacular.
You know, usually, like, when any other, like, American artist comes to South Africa and pulls off some vernacular, we roll our eyes like, "Oh, how nauseating. Don't try to be like us. It's condescending." But when Oprah did it, everyone was fine with it. And then she ended off, this is also what killed me. She goes, "I have a lot of my favorite things, but this is my favorite Madiba quote."
Oh, Jesus, she's unbelievable.
And she did the Oprah arms as well.
Oprah arms.
Oh, boy.
All right. So, yeah, I'm gonna calm you down, because people are not as excited as you, but it's...
Then people are not living. They are just not living.
You know what? I'm just so happy for you, because you get to meet your hero. Did you actually touch her? Did you get a photograph with her?
You're the worst stalker in the whole world. Mm-mm. Did you secretly get into her car, follow her back, put a tracking device on her vehicle?
Didn't even want to ruin that moment. You know, we walked off as soon as her speech was done as well. I just wanted to get a bit closer. So before the panel discussion continued, I walked out of the arena as well, and I waited, and I saw her like 3 barriers away with her team, and she walked out and back into her car. She drove off very calmly.
You know, you could still meet her. I mean, it can happen. I can promise you.
You've got lots of time. I don't know if she does.
I've met everyone in the world I've ever wanted to meet. And it's totally possible.
Well, she's still here. You know, there's the dinner happening on Saturday night. I might attend that if things go my way. Well, but of course then I'll be at the concert and I'll see her there as well.
Well, you talk about her school, and I went to my old primary school last night.
Mm. Ooh, how long has it been?
Don't do the maths.
27 years.
Sheepers.
And I said to them, I got up on the stage and I said, the last time I was in this room was when I had my valediction. And this was the valediction for the grade 7.
Did everything look really tiny?
It looked small. The whole school, I could walk around the whole school, it'd take me 5 minutes, but when I was a kid, it felt like,
with your giant strides,
it felt like forever to go around the school. The field was so huge. It was like the biggest sports field in the world when I was a kid, and the classrooms were enormous. And I looked at them last night, and I saw these little chairs that these kids sit on, and I'm like, I would never even fit on one of those chairs now. It's just so spooky and nostalgic. And I'm not a particularly emotive human being, and I don't get very nostalgic, but it felt so weird. The only thing, well, it's not the only thing, but one of the things I love about what I've done so far and the things that I get asked to do now, is I get to go back to the school and talk to, I mean, these are kids of people my age. You know, and that makes you feel so goddamned old, first of all. But you get to meet your teachers. Like, there were 4 people there who, 3 of them were actually teachers when I was at school there. And they're still teaching.
Wow.
Isn't that incredible? And then one of them was at school with me, and she's become a teacher.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's just so, like, amazing. I walked around, because I arrived early. And I walked around the grounds of the school. There was no one else there. It was dead quiet. I remember my grade 1 class. I walked past the classroom where my grade 1 teacher, a woman called Mrs. Bowker, was my first ever teacher.
You've mentioned her before.
She was big. She was bohemian. She had a laugh.
Did you fat shame her as a small child?
No, I didn't. She was just such a spectacular woman. And she died at some point. She wasn't even that old. I think she was about 64, 65 when she died. And this woman was like everything you want a teacher to be, especially for little kids. She'd hug all the little kids. She taught us how to read.
Oh.
All these things, right? That so many loves of my life were introduced because I learned to read, for example. Mm. You don't think about that.
I taught myself to read.
Yes.
Well, how did you do that?
So did Ben, because he was in the wild.
Well, there's reading and there's reading.
You taught yourself to read? Seriously?
I really did, yeah. How? I was reading way before school.
What the Matilda's going on?
Well, you weren't like one of these wunderkinds?
Well, if I was, it was only in languages. Okay, certainly not in maths or anything.
Nothing wrong with that. So they give out the awards at this valediction, and they give out all the awards for, you know, the language subjects, so English, Afrikaans, then you got one for history, one for sciences, one blah, blah, blah. They go through the whole lot. Arts. This one kid.
Oh, boy. They needed a box?
This one kid, he got everything.
Yeah.
He got everything. He couldn't fit them all on the table that they brought in for him.
That's amazing.
I would have hated
incredible.
Him.
Incredible. You probably would have hated him. But then you hear the stories from, because I was sitting next to the headmaster and I had one of my old teachers on the other side. It was so bizarre to be back in that hall.
And not sitting on the floor with your legs crossed.
Yeah. And they called me Mr. Cliff, and I was like, this is the only time I've ever been called that in this place
like
in
Mr.
my life.
Mr. Chips.
Were you looking over, like, finding your dad? Like, who calls you Mr. Cliff? Wow.
So weird. And then, I mean, the school's kind of, it feels the same. They still have the different school houses, which I remember. So I sent a picture of this to the three friends who I still communicate with that we were at primary school together, you know, that we were all together at school with. And, I mean, it's so bizarre to go back in time like that.
Yeah,
It's just extraordinary. You don't actually know what's going on. You feel like you're in a bit of a dream.
Yeah, it is. It's completely hazy and strange. And I recently had to drive through my old hood for a meeting. And I haven't been there in
20 years. Without stabbing.
Only just. And I haven't been there in 20 years.
Yeah,
and I was driving, and I felt like I was in a chariot in the air. It was such a weird sensation.
Because I don't go to reunions. I think they're stupid, and the people I don't still communicate with are obviously people I don't want to communicate with. So why would I go to a reunion?
Mm. I always do find those very contrived. Yet to go to one.
Yeah, but it was really special. I loved it, and I just said to them, you know, if you look to your left and right, you'll. That there might be someone who you'll be friends with for the rest of your life. So look to your left and right and decide. This is someone I want to keep in my life. And then I said to them at the end, after I'd spoken for about 3 or 4 minutes, I said, now look to your left and right again, because one of those people might end up being a billionaire or a president or a rock star or whatever. And it's true. You never know when you're at school.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Some people went to school with Elon Musk. They probably didn't think much of him.
Or they were bullying him, Gareth. That's why he left for America.
Right.
Some people end up pregnant in 4 years. But
yes.
That's also the other side.
Maybe that wasn't the speech Gareth really wanted to give.
Yeah.
I should have given the CS speech and depressed the whole lot of them and told them about sex way too early in their lives.
Some of you will never leave the house that you currently live in. Yes.
And some of you will end up with a child out of wedlock.
Yeah. Some of you will waste a lot of disposable income on strippers.
There we go.
That's never a waste, Ben.
Some of you will have fallen under the grip of alcohol.
and never see the light of day again.
All right, if you could go back and actually stand on the stage at your old school and address yourself and your friends, would you say stuff like that? Because that would be hilarious.
It would be hilarious. It'd be lost on the audience, but it would be hilarious to you. And it'll be a timeless speech, because the older you get, the more it makes sense. You'll want to set fire to your loved ones.
Mm-hmm.
Some of you will hate your parents. Mm. Some of you will hate each other. Some of you will die during school.
Some of you will have a web browser history that will really be concerning to yourself.
Some of you will lie so much that you'll end up in cabinet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would not want to hear that.
It's a Politics Free Friday. We're trying this new thing. Yeah, it came to me as an idea yesterday.
Treat. That's why we started off with Oprah.
Yeah, we started with Oprah. We're not doing any politics today. Not in the news, nothing. So if you want politics, you'll have to wait for something else.
It's quite difficult because most things lead to politics, you know.
Right?
Not on Fridays.
On Fridays.
We're going to prove you can do it, all right? This is a doable thing.
Are we allowed to talk about, like, court cases?
Yeah, that's not politics.
Okay.
Politics, anything to do with politicians, right. Political parties, elections, all of that stuff. We're not talking about that on Fridays anymore. And it's a big day because it's Nolo's last day here.
Hey, Nolo.
I was about to say, no, we don't.
You can't celebrate that, but you want to sound positive, but you...
Nolo knows. I said this to her a million times, but you don't really leave here, so she's not going to disappear. It's like Amanda, and on that note... We're bringing back a Christmas special full of all kinds of characters.
Yay!
That you may not have seen for, you know, a year, 2 years, a couple of months. People who've been part of this show for the longest time. So we'll be doing a big Christmas special that you don't want to miss. Christmas special! Nolo, you look amazing.
Thank you.
Did you dress up? Did you dress up specially for the occasion? You look like a Lauryn Hill in, like, mid-90s.
Yes. I don't know. At her
best.
Up feeling funky this morning.
You look good.
I thought, let me...
Jeez, none of us have dressed up like that. Although Leanne and I are both wearing white capris.
Yes, it does look like we may go boating or something.
No, I'm wearing white linen today.
Yes.
A summer suit.
Excuse us.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, but I've got a party to go to.
A grand white party.
Yeah, everybody's got... this time of year, everybody's got parties, right? You've been invited to some...
I went to one yesterday, Gareth.
You see.
At a fantastic rooftop venue.
See, Ben, even you could be dragged out of your house occasionally to go to a party. How was it?
It was amazing. It was very nice. It was an end of year for clients only Christmas party. Next Thursday is the end of year where people just lose their shit.
Oh.
Please be careful. Listen, I'm going to say this with peace and love. And Dory said something interesting to me yesterday. Dory, who works here at Cliff Central, she said, that Ringo speech that you play often, you know, where Ringo goes, peace and love, peace and love, I will not be signing autographs. You know that one.
Mm-hmm.
She said, let's be frank. Ringo doesn't have that many people asking for autographs. You could probably drive right up to Ringo's house and he'd let you in because he doesn't get visitors. I mean, Ringo was the least popular Beatle.
He really was.
No one cared about Ringo.
If it wasn't for Thomas the Tank Engine. Where would Ringo really...
That's true. That's his best song.
He did the theme song?
You know that song, right?
Ringo was the voice of, I don't know, one of the tank engines. And that was his big thing. Beatles were like, well, we could have got Steve or Sean or Philip to do the drums. But then there was Ringo because, let's be honest, he had bugger all else to do.
Yeah. But he was... That's his greatest contribution. No,
I did not know that.
No, Ringo was... listen, the Beatles, greatest band ever. So even if you were the shittest member of the greatest band ever, you're still better than most musicians who are alive.
Mm.
You really are. So Ringo, you know what? I think he still gets fan mail, even though he asked people, please do not send anything to be signed.
But
it will be tossed.
I often think that's the sweet spot, though, to be a band member in a popular band.
Sure.
You know, you get to live the rock star life. You travel around the world. You are in these luxurious hotels. But then you also get to go home and nobody really knows you.
Yeah, if you're the front man, if you're Bob Marley, Stevie Wonder, if you're John Lennon, if you're any of those really, really, you know, solo artists or the front man of a band, there's so much attention on you. You usually die young. You usually take too many drugs. Everyone wants to have sex with you. It just
or
becomes...
Assassinate you,
right?
Yeah, you take the heat for a lot of things.
No one in the world ever thought, I need to kill Ringo Starr. Never.
And also when you're the drummer, you know, you could be somewhere, but you always got your place. You're like in a road trip. You always want to sit in the front seat or you want to drive because you never know what's going to be in the back. As a drummer, you just sit there.
Yeah.
The front
I'm warning you with peace and love.
Get to your own spot, you're comfy.
Anyway, I had a point I was going to try and make here. So it's Politics Free Friday. Peace and love. I got a couple of emails here that I want to get to just before we get to the news. Guy says, well done, guys. Thursday's dose of home with Pumi was special. I hope we get to see her back regularly. Cheers from the center of the Middle East. Wow, did we get some feedback on Pumi Mashiho yesterday?
Well, she is fantastic, though.
And Canthan Pillay, who came in to do the burning platform, the two of them were on fire yesterday. If you missed out on that, if you don't get any politics today and you feel like you need some, for heaven's sake, don't listen to the shit on radio. Go and download the podcast of The Burning Platform, brought to you by Nando's, on cliffcentral.com. Get it on our site from yesterday. You can't go wrong. Pumi and Canthan went full circle. There's no other way to describe it. Another email. This is from Jennifer. She says, today's Burning Platform, that's yesterday's, with Canthan Pile and the interview with Bonang Mohale from Business Leadership South Africa was amazing. Thank you so much for all the great content. You always get me to see things from a different point of view and teach me things I didn't know about. Saved me from a guy trying to hit on my way home from work one day.
Oh.
Listen to this story. I obviously wasn't interested in him, but I told him to download the app and listen to Cliff Central and see why no one would want to be disturbed while listening to you.
Oh, wow, interesting? Yeah.
Can I suggest for the upcoming elections next year if you could get interview representatives from the different parties like you did previously? I want to vote, but all of these parties are just worse than the other. I need to decide which of the lesser evils to go with. Sure we will.
That's a good idea.
Sia, please listen to Michelle Obama's book, Becoming. Listen to it, you see. Audiobooks. It will have you mesmerized.
I've already listened to the first lady's interview with Oprah, and that was also great. Two of my favorite things right now.
Melania?
A former first lady.
Get your facts straight. Show some respect.
Don't you still refer to them as first ladies, regardless of their
title? Melania's on the phone.
Hello?
Look what you've done, sir.
How are you?
She's calling you.
No,
I called to complain about this man. This man is saying I'm not first lady. He's calling Michelle Obama first lady.
See, a phone for you.
Don't you know your fucking history? I come over in a crate and opened up in New York Harbor. Donald Trump stand there, say, I buy you from your family in Slovenia and I take you to my palace in sky. I go, okay. He take me up golden elevator. I go to a beautiful golden apartment. Very gold. Very much more gold than I think even. Very vulgar gold. Anyway, he put me on bed straight away.
Oh.
Humpity, 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 hump. I go to sleep. Wake up next morning. I'm Mrs. Trumpity Hump. Trump. I go, okay. Not bad life. Better than having to mow lawns and pull cattle with rope in Slovenia. And better than having to put cam on and masturbate for old men.
Ooh.
Now only one old man. And he not put me on cam. Anyway, I work hard. I go shopping. I try to make a very nice house for Donald. Then he decide run for president. I go, no, Donald, no. He win president. I am now first lady. And now you show no respect. You talk Oprah, you talk Michelle, you don't talk me.
She's the American dream, yeah? The actual American dream.
Apologies, First Lady Trump. Trump. Thank First you. Lady Trump.
Thank
First
you. Lady you know, yes. My slogan, be better.
Oh, yes. Yes. I shall try to be.
Be better. Thank you. Bye-bye, you other losers.
Thank you, Melania. Knaus. I still think her maiden name is
Knaus.
Knaus.
She's always so inspiring.
She's great. I mean, pulling cattle with rope. It's really, it was hard for her before Donald. And he bought her on a catalog online. Good move.
Very inspiring.
Anyway, let me just finish this quickly. Ben, I am beside myself after watching Queen of the South. I seriously watch the shows that you speak about, and they're all brilliant, though I am not willing to try Downton Abbey.
Well, then you're not willing to really live, are you?
This is from Jennifer, and Jennifer also says, Nolo, I love your vibe and authenticity. Isn't that nice, huh?
Why, thank you.
Yes, compliments all around from Jennifer, except nothing nice about Leanne or me.
Yeah, it's okay. We've had our days.
You think?
Let the others shine.
I love the nautical inspiration.
From now on, I'm not reading any emails unless they just compliment me.
Oh.
If any emails say anything nice about anyone else on the show, I will burn them. With peace and love, nothing will be read.
You've just tossed a whole stack of them.
It will be tossed in the rubbish
bin.
There
were so many more emails after that.
After 30th November, do not send compliments for anyone except me.
Okay.
All right, there we go. Now, let's get into the five things, because my God, the morning's moving. We don't have time. We don't have time for all this nonsense.
There isn't time.
There is. Just by saying that, you're taking up time. All right, first story you need to know about today. France has moved closer to creating a ban on smacking children. Heard about this?
Are they uplifting the ban or are they
implementing
a ban?
No, the French have said they're putting a symbolic ban on parents smacking their children, a practice which, though condemned by the UN, still enjoys widespread support in France. They do like to hit their children.
But the thing is, some kids need to be hit, though. Let's call a spade a spade.
Well, Ben, you were raised with some violence. I was raised with a little bit of violence. Leanne was raised with some violence.
The only thing is there, they probably use a baguette and we used shambucks.
Yeah.
How classy a baguette.
Sia, were you raised with some violence?
No, it's not.
Oh, none.
In Crimea River, getting smacked with a beret is hardly like getting smacked with the back of a hand.
How about you, Nola?
I was raised with a lot of violence.
Right, you see? That's how you've turned out all right. Yeah, tell you what.
That's debatable.
The Bill on Corporal Punishment or Humiliation seeks to ensure that parental authority is exercised without violence of any sort, including physical, verbal, or psychological violence. Oh, let's see how that turns out for France.
Look, you do get some shithead parents just like hitting things. But also, if a kid knows not to do something, they kind of don't do it. And violence teaches lessons.
And then they say not using physical force to punish children can result in good behavior. This is a survey that's done. Another story you need to know this morning. The Constitutional Court here in South Africa has heard the positive parenting without physical force to discipline a child can result in very good behavior. So take that, you French. You seem to be on the right track. Organization Freedom of Religion South Africa is appealing the High Court in Johannesburg's ruling, which effectively declared all forms of physical correction of children by their parents unlawful. So there's a lot to talk about here, and maybe we should unpack this one morning when we've got more time, because there
isn't time.
Yes, but if there was, we could talk, for example, about how you can discipline a child without having to be violent, whether or not the right to do that is a parent's right, and whether parents should ever be told how to raise their children by governments. And there are lots of other contentious issues. I don't like the idea of kids being hit. I personally don't think it's necessary. I don't have children, though, so how the hell am I going to tell any parents what to do? And occasionally, a smack for a child is a far more, let's at least say, efficient way of doing things, but it doesn't always result in the best behavior.
No, I mean, I just have, for me, it's traumatic memories. It was never associated with positive reinforcement or anything like that.
Right.
What if it's a newspaper? You get your newspaper and you're allowed to hit with a newspaper.
Who still has one of those around?
Well,
that's the problem.
I'm trying to give a purpose for newspapers here.
Good point.
I'm trying to reinvigorate their industry by saying you can use this as your official smacker.
To strike a child.
Wow.
All right. Well, there's lots of debate about this and we can get into it later. If you have an opinion or a point of view, maybe you're a parent who's very strongly against corporal punishment of any kind.
If you're just a kid and you've been smacked this morning, tell us why.
Yes, that's a good idea. 0861-555-189. We'll give priority to kids who've been smacked just this morning.
That'll be like when my brother phoned Childline after he'd got a hiding.
What? Yeah.
And he'd got through to the person and my mom said, grab the phone and said, now I'm really going to give him something to cry about.
All right. Archbishop Emeritus Desmond Tutu will be awarded the Lifetime Award on Thursday night at the 4th South African Man of the Year Awards.
Oh, halala.
Ah, the Archbishop is receiving the award alongside Professor Sam Sangweni. Is he a relative of yours?
Yes, he's done great things, so I'll claim him.
Okay. They're being recognized for their contribution. Is everybody coughing? Is everyone all right?
Yeah, and she's coughing in surround sound there, walking around the studio.
So they're being recognized for their contribution to building a prosperous and peaceful South Africa. I think that man is just amazing. Archbishop Emeritus Desmond Tutu. Give him every award we've got. Throw the whole award ceremony at the man. He is the greatest living South African, without any doubt.
Well,
A huge Tutankhamun show is set to tour the world. This is very exciting for those of you who are into a little Egyptology. This is the real Wakanda, by the way. Really? I mean, Egypt was an African empire that predates any Marvel comic. 4 decades after the boy Pharaoh caused a sensation in the US and Europe, treasures from the tomb of Tutankhamun are going to tour the world again. More than 50 of the 150 artworks from his tomb in the show will only ever leave Cairo once, say the Egyptian authorities, who are organizing the tour as a run-up to the opening of the Grand Egyptian Museum in Giza. I would go to this. And you know, when you think of Tutankhamun, you think of that mask, right?
Yeah.
But there were jars and furniture and statues and jewels and just the most incredible treasures. Remember, he was a boy pharaoh. He died in his teens. And he didn't have that great a tomb. Can you imagine what was in the other tombs that were raided over the thousands of years?
So much of gold.
Wow. Probably some of that in jewelry that you could even be wearing now, because there's only so much gold in the world and it all gets recycled. So you never know. Over 1.2 million people queued to see a small exhibition 6 years earlier at the Petit Palais in Paris, which was called the Show of the Century. Can you imagine that? So that is quite something. You get to go, and we'll obviously let you know if it comes to South Africa, but wow, what a show that would be. And finally, the only other thing you need to know this morning is that the City of Cape Town's guidelines for level 3 water usage, blah, blah, blah. Just don't use so much water, you greedy bastards. All right, are we happy with that? Let's move on.
Concise.
Really, I mean, Cape Town, just stop it. Just stop using up all the water, okay? God's sake. You want to be dry again? You want to have those water restrictions? You want Hillenzilla climbing over your wall to check your water meter and Patricia De Lille breaking down your fence to see what your usage is, and other even worse people that you don't even know about that are in the provincial or local government that are going to come storming into your private residence to tell you you're using too much water. Keep the government out of your house by using responsible amounts of water, right?
Right.
Good. All right, let's get to Ben. But first, cryptocurrencies, $4,286 for Bitcoin, $118 for Ethereum. The less said, the better. Ben, over to you.
Right, Gareth, it's a big weekend in football and cricket.
Mm-hmm.
Deontay Wilder versus Tyson Fury is probably the biggest thing in sport. And the Copa Libertadores.
What?
Copa Libertadores moves to Madrid.
Are you having a stroke?
I think he is.
All right. It was a big Champions League week, but now into back to the leagues. The leagues are obviously what the best important part of the season is, because it's the long drama, the story, the pantomime, all of these things roll into one. Man City, of course, is the team to beat in England, and they'll be playing against Bournemouth this weekend at 5 o'clock on Saturday. Other big matches look out for there. Southampton will be hosting Man United. And, well, the meme of the week is definitely Jose Mourinho attacking the drinks tray after his team beat the Young Boys in the Champions League.
Shame.
That meme is being spread far and wide.
Sure.
And it's kind of where Jose really is right now. He's becoming a parody of himself. Will they beat Southampton? Well, they bloody should, because Southampton are near the bottom of the log. Other big games are on Sunday. So Arsenal versus Spurs. Now, the big London derby. Of course, Arsenal have always been the better team than Spurs. But in the last couple of seasons, well, Spurs have kind of trumped them. And currently, Arsenal play in the midweek Europe B kind of league. And Spurs are still in the Champions League.
Hmm.
Well, not really, but I mean, they were there this year. So that'll take place 4:05. And then Liverpool versus Everton at 6:15. Those are your big matches for the weekend in the Premier League. The Absa Premiership, though, that's South Africa's version of their league. Well, that's also here. That's here to play. Chipper United will take on AmaZulu tonight. So you get Friday night fixtures, Nelson Mandela Bay Stadium at 8 o'clock. And then tomorrow, look out for Golden Arrows hosting the Chiefs at 6. Pirates will take on Maritzburg United at 8:15. And the same time, Bidvest will be away to the Black Leopards. And then Sunday, Supersport United versus Mamelodi Sundowns. That's your Tshwane derby, if you like. 3:30. In the Mzansi Super League this weekend, well, where do we stand? Are some teams already knocked out? Well, you would think the Jersey Stars and Durban Heat languishing at the bottom of the table are maybe those two teams, but they've only played 4 matches. Remember, Cape Town blitzed the top of the standings there on 20 points. They've played 6. Jersey Stars played 4 with 5 points. They've only had 1 win, as has the Durban Heat. So, let's have a look at the fixtures then. So, tonight, which was the 30th of November, the last day of November, Nelson Mandela Bay Giants versus the Paul Rocks. Now, if you go down to the Nelson Mandela Bay Giants match today, you get to have your picture taken with the Mzansi Super League Angels, and that could give you a chance to win a trip to the final, Gareth.
Hmm.
The all ultimate fan experience at the final. You get to meet the players, you get to go onto the pitch, you get to go into the dressing rooms. you get to watch as a true VIP. So look out for the Mzansi Super League Angels at that match. Then the Josie Stars will take on the Durban Heat tonight in Joburg. So if you're in the Joburg area, it's going to be a beautiful night of cricket. And that is the bottom of the log.
Marvelous. That's
Saturday,
great.
We'll see the Spartans versus the Blitz. That's at Centurion, again at 7 o'clock at night. So big night out for all the students who are just obviously finishing their year. Get on down to Centurion for that. Then 2nd of December, Sunday, Paul Rocks versus the Durban Heat. Again, your chance to be with the Mzansi Super League
my
Angels
team,
there.
My team, Ben, the Paul Rocks. I'm
your
so
team,
excited.
Your team, Gareth, your team versus the Durban Heat, which is
team
Leanne's team.
Foisted on me.
So you two have your big match. Yes. I'm going to go Paul Rocks to win that. Sorry, Leanne, your team is not going so well.
Oh my gosh, can't believe it.
But yeah, look out for the Angels there to win that amazing prize. And then also the Nelson Mandela Bay Giants versus the Josie Stars. So big weekend for those teams. Cape Town Blitz, of course, have played more games than anyone else. So they're going to take a bit of a breather, only playing one match this weekend. The other teams, well, they're all over the place. In football of the hooligan nature, we spoke about the Copa Libertadores this week, earlier in the week, and how the big match between River Plate and Boca Juniors has just fallen into a pit of violence. The first match was postponed because of violence.
Oh my god!
Second match as well. There's history here. Obviously, huge history. I think it's the first time in 59 years that they've been in the final of this this big clash. This is Argentina's big sort of cup clash. But it's been so bad that they haven't just moved it to another country. They've moved it to another part of the world completely. So this match will now be played on Sunday, the 9th of December, at Real Madrid Stadium, the Bernabeu. So well done, Argentine football fans. You cannot behave, and now your footballers have to go to another country. That shines a light on just exactly how badly behaved you are. Imagine how embarrassing that is. But these football fans, they don't really get embarrassed. They just want to fight each other because there's no more real structured gangs like in the days when we used to fight for our food. Speaking of fighting, the Deontay Wilder versus Tyson Fury match. Oh, this is going to be so huge. Now, if you've never heard of... I mean, obviously, everyone's heard of Tyson Fury. He was the...
Yes, of course.
He was the Jippo. You got through all the boxing ranks, and then he managed to beat Vladimir Klitschko. And that was a big result because everyone was quite surprised by that. Most of all, Klitschko, who said he was the complete fighter. He was big, he was fast, he could take a punch, and he could sure give one too. And then he became the world champion, did a whole bunch of sniff, got very depressed, and then basically relinquished all his belts. But he's back. He's back, he's inspired, he says he's fighting for everyone with mental illness and depression. He's also giving a whole bunch of money to homeless people.
Yeah.
So he's a man on a mission, and he's a man with a plan. But he'll be taking on Deontay Wilder. Never heard of this guy? Well, 39 of his 40 wins have come by knockout. This guy will knock you out, quite literally. That's what he is. He's one of the hardest punching heavyweights in the history of boxing.
With a name like that, you don't want to mess with him.
And he really is the kind of guy that, well, his ex-opponent, this Cuban guy, says if Fury gets in the middle with this guy and tries to go toe-to-toe, he doesn't have a chance. Not a chance.
Kill him.
So many people believe it's going to be the KO artist versus a more technical boxer who Tyson Fury is. But there's actually more to Wilder than what people think. Sure, he's the knockout king. There's no doubt about that. But he's got more to him. I mean, this is a guy with a celebrated amateur record. He won bronze at the Olympics. Now, if you win a medal at the Olympics, you've got to be a pretty solid boxer. You run in there trying to be a knockout king, you will get knocked out. Those amateur ranks are so technical and so competitive. So he does have that from his amateur days, his upbringing. So to call him a one-trick pony, it's just that that's his best trick, and that's what always gets the job done. I think if it goes deep here with Fury, I think we'll see another level of Wilder that we haven't seen just yet. But in saying that, yesterday's press conference, as they all do, they escalate and they're almost kissing each other and a bit of pushing and shoving. And Wilder did get very emotional. Now, talking about emotion, Fury's been through all the emotions. This is a guy who was suicidal. This is a guy whose life literally just fell apart. So I think the head games or the mind games have already been won by Fury. He's got into the head of Wilder, who is a lot more emotional than the other guy. And when it comes to boxing at this level as well, you let your guard down, you overexpose yourself, you will get knocked out. These guys are really at the top of the game. And there's no more efficient fighter in the world of fighting than a boxer. Get into a fight against anybody, this guy will knock you out the quickest. So Tyson Fury, I think, is going to be very, very technically capable for this fight. So it's a perfect match. If you want to watch this fight South African time, probably around 5 in the morning on Sunday, the 2nd of December. It's a great day with lots happening, chief of which is this fight. So if you are in this 4 o'clock Greenwich Mean Time, so take that as you wish with wherever you live and around the world. In golf news, there is the Tigers tournament in the Bahamas. There is the Aussie Open. Sorry, the Aussie PGA. And then in Mauritius as well, all of SA's top guys are kind of playing in that one, which is the AfroAsia Mauritius Open. So there's so much golf to look forward to. And otherwise, that's pretty much it.
All right.
There's no Formula One because that's finished. Lewis Hamilton and Team Mercedes, they won everything as to be expected. There's a bit of rugby banter going around. Brendan Fenter, who was part of the box set up under the Alistair Coetzee failed era, is basically saying, stop blowing smoke up Rusty Rasmus's ass. His year this year was worse than Alistair Coetzee's last year. Technically speaking, on the result front, sure. But many people obviously side with Rusty. They seem to have more hope in him. Brendan Fenter saying, don't let the stats fool you. But then again, it's all very, very subjective. I generally feel more positive with Rusty. I think he's got a good core going. He did beat the All Blacks. I know the All Blacks had a bad day, but still. As Gulbrits, he's somehow going to the Bulls. What is happening in Western Province Union? They couldn't get Dwayne Vermeulen. They can't get Gulbrits. These are guys who want to come back, and they physically want to go and play for that team. But financial issues. Professional game. You ain't got the money. You ain't got the talent. That is all it right. for your week of sport.
Thank you, Ben. Duncan says, yes, they apply positive parenting here in the UK, and you must see how the school kids have turned out. Hashtag bring back the belt, Duncan. And then a number says, what's the usage now, Gareth? 3B, we are on level 5. Tell the story. I don't know. What's she talking about?
What grade does it system? Mean?
Oh, is that for usage of water?
Oh, perhaps, yes.
Yeah, sorry. Oh. Can't help you. Because I lost interest in that story. I had no interest in the fight until I heard the Joe Rogan interview. Tyson is an interesting dude. That's Steven.
Yeah, it's a great interview, that.
All right. Then someone saying, Sia, the interviews do not do the book justice. This is Jennifer. The stories there that will have you saying, wow.
Oh, this is the Michelle Obama book.
Right. Tabo saying, Gareth, I don't know what you were talking about. We haven't seen anybody at Cliff Central. We hear them. Okay, sorry. It's kind of obvious, but yeah.
Technicalities.
I know. Let's go to Said by Sia, shall we? The best Said by Sia, the day after you spent some time with Oprah.
So much good news happening. Oprah's in the country. Beyonce landed. This is inspiring, the good news that's happening right now. There's a good news story in the works currently, actually. A 24-year-old Johannesburg girl, Cheyenne Grobler, found a ring in the bathroom of Sandton City and posted it online, hoping that the rightful owner comes forward to collect it. So Cheyenne and her friend were at Sandton City, which is a mall here in Johannesburg, yesterday, and they found this ring, and it's a diamond ring, Nochal, on the toilet roll stand in one of the stalls in the loo around the food court area. And she grabbed the ring and ran through the mall trying to find the woman who had walked out of the loo just as she was walking in, and she couldn't find this woman, assuming that the ring belonged to her. So she went to the customer service desk to ask if anyone had come forward, and sadly no one at that point yesterday afternoon had asked about the ring. So she just simply went onto social media. She posted about the ring, she posted a picture of it as well, saying that, I found a ring in the bathroom by the food court in Sandton City. I know it seems like a small thing, but it means something to someone, so just trying to find the owner. Now this is why I bring this story up, because I think it's so awesome how so many people have banded together.
You see, just I would immediately assume if you did that shitheads would come out of the woodwork and say that's mine and claim it to be theirs.
So she already knows something about the Cheyenne, because there's a special inscription on the inside of the ring which she does not show in the picture. So she says, if this is your ring, then you know what's written inside of it, and then private message me and we can take it further. But this is why I believe in the goodness of people. From Cheyenne's account, the post has been shared more than 12,700 times and it was included on news bulletins on South African television last night as well.
My mum told me about it. She'd seen it on the news.
I think it's
She's
so
like, it's
awesome.
On the news. Somebody left their ring in the bathroom at Sandton City. I thought it was the after effects of the stroke.
Like, it's not going to change the price of bread for any one of us, but to the one person who has a special inscription, most probably it's a wedding ring, this means a lot to them. So hopefully we'll keep tabs on the story, and hopefully it will land up with the rightful owner. But kudos on Cheyenne. You know, she was saying, I'm not going to sell it for money, you know, because it does mean something to someone out there. So 24 years old and found this diamond ring in Sandton, and on the path of finding the rightful owner. I think it's sweet. That's your sit-by-seer for this morning.
Very nice. Okay. Got a hell of a day ahead, so we've got lots to get to, lots of people to speak to, interesting things happening a little later on in the show. Among other things, we're going to talk about, and I'll replay a bit later on, the Zuma grannies. You remember them? Beginning of this year.
They were
end
fun.
Of, end of last year, beginning Zuma of this year. Zuma must go. Zuma must go. Zuma must go. And they did that terrible dance. But they were great. I mean, you know what? That's activism, the kind that we all like. So, lots more to come, including George Meany popping by with Auto Central and the Power Pod that we do with them every week. I hope you're off to a good start this Friday morning. It's fantastic. This is the best time of the year. I was listening to this song when I drove in this morning, so now you need to hear it as well. Are you ready?
Okay.
And I hope you'll like it. Put me in a sure, very good too. Mood. Huh? What, Ben?
No, I brace with anxiety.
Ben's got something to think to say even before the song starts.
I don't know.
How do you not know the song?
Cliffcentral.com.